Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your Political Week in Review, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. It's been another wild boar of a week. Oink, oink. The political dumpster's ablaze, but let's put out this shit show and reload your brain with the facts you actually need. All right, you little bastards. It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Come on, you feline. Start scratching the post. Holy moly.
Welcome to the
take
show.
Take it away, gentlemen.
Yeah, we'll take it away. Welcome one, welcome all. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it again. Another political week in review. We'll just keep rolling this train down the tracks until the shit stops. And it doesn't seem to be any end in sight. So you're good.
Yeah. And it is Friday. Doesn't feel like it. It's Black Friday. Thanksgiving week. What do you know? Thanksgiving okay for everyone?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we had a nice time. We had a nice family event, a nice gathering. It was I hosted this year, so it was good. And I was exhausted. Fell asleep last night, and I thought, I didn't even check in with Harness, dude, on Thanksgiving? That's unlike me. But I didn't get a text from you either, and you said you were thinking the same thing.
It's funny. I was texting all sorts of random people yesterday, including the Really American crew. And at one point, I was like, wait, did I text Nick? Like, I know I haven't talked to him. But then I thought we did. I don't know. But no, we didn't. So just know that the only reason I would quote-unquote forget about you is because you're already top of the list. So there's just a thing going on 24/7.
Yeah, we've got one of those relationships where, like, you know I'm not going to be hurt by it. You know, I know you're not going to be hurt by it. So it is what it is.
Did you get screwed cleaning up the house, or did people help you?
No, dude, I'll tell you what. My sister's husband, my brother-in-law, Jason, is incredible. I mean, he demands on doing dishes in his house, like, won't let me help. I want it done, blah, blah, blah. And he's just a machine. And last night, he stepped in at the end of dinner. I didn't wash a plate. I didn't wash anything. It was amazing. I mean, I helped put stuff away and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was incredible.
Nice. Kennedy is getting ready to move in here. We're coming up on 2 years together, so we're going to start living together. And nice. She has this concept that whoever cooks – should actually clean.
Interesting.
Whereas I always had it the other way around. You cook, I clean. But she feels like if I'm cooking, I'm making the mess, so I should have to clean up after myself, which seems backwards. But she also did 99.9% of the Thanksgiving cooking, and I was like, you're cleaning up, right? Because you cooked. And it didn't work that way for Thanksgiving.
So, not with that mess, right? I mean, it's so much, dude. I mean, I don't know. I got up early, you know, since I was hosting. I had shit to do around the house and pick up, and you know, so I was exhausted by the time the night was over. So
yeah, we use literally every dish in my house, and that's not saying a lot, you know, being the bachelor life that I have been leading, but we had a good time. Kids were here, everyone had fun, so you know, here we go.
Yeah, that's nice, dude. You've got a child away at college, so nice to get a little time with both siblings together, I'm sure.
Indeed. So, yeah. So, sorry, there's fluff floating around my room. we're actually here live just after 3 o'clock on the West Coast, 6 o'clock on the East Coast, Black Friday, Thanksgiving week. And on one level, the news cycle has slowed down this week, but not entirely. Of course, we had a big story breaking right before Thanksgiving and into today. So I know that's on the list we can discuss, plus other things.
For sure. Yeah, that was kind of a weird Thanksgiving Eve is, I guess, what we call it, right?
Thanksgiving Eve, yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the eve of Thanksgiving. I mean, you're under a rock if you don't know what we're talking about. You're tuned into the wrong podcast.
I mean, I sort of checked out of the news for a little bit. I see the news alerts. So I wouldn't be surprised if either somebody didn't entirely know or only knew the surface. I mean, we're talking about the National Guardsman being shot in D.C. But before we get into that, I do want to remind everyone, today is Black Friday, Cyber Monday coming up. We are doing the We Ain't Buying It, No Kings boycott this weekend, everyone.
Yes. So
remember, Target, Home Depot, Amazon, none of that until Tuesday, then do whatever the hell you want to do. But we got to show them that we can cost them a few hundred million, maybe even a billion or two, not only for them, but every company's going to be paying attention. And the point is to punish them for bending a knee and bending over for Trump. So
So hopefully everyone's doing it, dude. I'm going to be really vulnerable and honest right now. I was up this morning drinking coffee, trying to just relax a little bit. I purchased something on Amazon, and as soon as I checked out of my cart, I was like, oh, shit, it's Friday, dude. And I canceled the order. So I think I'm okay. So, I was like, oh, man, I did. That's just how you used to everything we are, you know, like putting in the cart, check out.
Totally. Well, listen, that's like the ICE protest last week at Home Depot, where they were buying 17-cent ice scrapers and then immediately returning them and then buying them again and returning them and all that. So sort of what you did. They could see that you had buyer's remorse liberal remorse and decided to cancel your order. So
wow, dude. People checking in from all over. We just got one from where did I see that? Good day from Australia. Oh, we had Denmark there.
Yeah.
Yeah, people around the world listening, thank you guys for tuning in. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. And, yeah, we'll get into a little news for you.
Yeah, all right. National Guard, do we have an official open or are we just jumping on in?
Yeah, do you want to hear the president announce what happened when he found out? We can do that. I've got
to be Obama. Can I pick my president?
Or does that have to be Trump? Dude, you can't. Okay.
Then I suppose so.
Okay. Hey, dude, I got to... Well, we already talked about this. Something funky with our program today here. So I'm going to play you these clips and let me know if you can't hear. Okay.
I hope you don't have porn on your desktop here.
I don't, dude. I'm not a maniac. Come on.
Of course. Yeah.
My great fellow Americans, earlier today on the eve of the Thanksgiving holiday, two members of the National Guard serving in Washington, D.C., was shot at point-blank range in a monstrous ambush-style attack just steps away from the White House. They'd been deputized as part of the most successful public safety and national security mission in the history of our nation's capital. This heinous assault was an act of evil, an act of hatred, and an act of terror.
Terror.
It was a crime against our entire nation. It was a crime against humanity. The hearts of all Americans tonight are with those two members of the West Virginia National Guard and their families. The love of our entire country is pouring out for them, and we are lifting them up in our prayers.
Hmm. Sure. Have you said any prayers?
I'm sure he's been to church many times and has said many prayers. Would he ever make all of this about himself.
No, of course he wouldn't.
As Catch My Whiff here says, I think it's better that his dipshit self doesn't attend her funeral. He doesn't care. It will just shit up the funeral. So, yeah, listen, two of them were shot. Both, by the way, had just been sworn in like 24 hours prior. And the woman did die. And everyone is freaking out appropriately because did you hear what Trump's response when he was asked, are you going to go to her funeral?
No, I didn't hear that. I did hear him speak before that, and he was basically saying what an incredible person she was. And I thought, you know, like, that's obviously a nice thing to say, but, like, you've never met her. You don't know anything about her. And wasn't she the one that was sworn in 24 hours prior?
Yeah, I thought they both were. Maybe it was just her. But, yeah, someone just said he'll end up making the funeral about him. When he was asked the question, do you plan on attending Sarah's funeral? His answer was, I haven't thought about it yet, but it's certainly something I can conceive of. I love West Virginia. You know, I won West Virginia by one of the biggest margins of any president anywhere. Like, he immediately took an answer about a dead young woman serving the National Guard and turns it not only into something about himself, but trying to turn it into some humble brag, and I put air quotes around humble. Like, this fucking narcissist cannot help but make everything about him.
Everything about him and his, I say in air quotes, accomplishments. It's so disgusting the way that he talks about everything. And you're talking about the death of a young service member like this. Let's see here. I have the video. I have the audio of him coming to the platform and, you know, saying that she's died. And I'll play it for you only because it's gross too, dude. The way that he talks about it is just, I don't know. It's gross. All right, here you go.
I'm shocked, but yes.
I must unfortunately tell you that just seconds before I went on, right now, I heard that Sarah Beckstrom of West Virginia, one of the guardsmen that were
talking about highly respected, young, magnificent person. Started service in June of 2023. Outstanding in every way. She's just passed away. She's no longer with us. She's looking down at us right now. Her parents are with her.
What?
It's just happened. She was savagely attacked. She's dead. She's not with us.
We get it.
Incredible person. Outstanding in every single way, in every department. That's horrible.
I mean, it's nice to say that. You know, you're right.
Of course it is, dude. But I mean, it's just hollow because he's just talking shit. You know, say something with some meaning.
Yes. And as the comment section is lighting up here, let me just pick one to highlight here from affirmative. Trump put troops in D.C., number one. Number two, Trump gave the shooter asylum. Trump is directly responsible for what happened. So I can't disagree with that. You know, they say this was a targeted shooting. But if there's no target there, you don't have anything to shoot at. And Trump, yeah, he put the National Guard there, and they weren't ever supposed to be there. The judge just ordered them out of D.C., but gave them a 30-day window to do it. So, Liz, I'm not trying to justify it, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, you put them there as essentially targets. You put them there symbolically to enforce, you know, whatever, not even law enforcement, just to be a show of force. So
that's exactly right. It was just for show, dude. With the judge ordering them out, where does that leave this whole announcement that Pete Hegseth came out and announced 500 National Guard coming in?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the first things you and I started talking about. Like, in some ways, this is exactly what Trump wanted, was an excuse to send more troops in, because now he can claim that now there's an emergency or whatever. And so I don't know what that's going to do to the order. I would assume it's going to have to be revisited. But, yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have been there. None of this should have happened. But we also still do not know what any motive was here. I have heard – I read an article today saying that some people that knew him said that he had mental health issues, which is probably undeniable by his actions. But doesn't the NRA world always say, we don't have a gun problem, we have a mental health problem? So it's not the guns, it's the mental health that we should be focused on. So now apparently we have a guy here that did a shooting because he has mental health issues. But Trump is jumping right to ban all immigrants coming in from third world countries. We have to re-vet all of these people that he did approve on his watch. Like, I understand they came in under the Biden administration, but it's not like this guy was granted immunity January 22nd or something, like a day into Trump's world. They did grant him that. But also, we can't be jumping, you know, okay, so a guy from Afghanistan did the shooting. Let's ban them all. Do we do that with white guys that go and shoot up churches or schools or whatever else?
No, we don't do that. But, you know, he did this with Muslims in his first term, you know, an all-Muslim ban. And, who knows, dude? I mean, this is what you get when you have big problems that are complex and you have an elementary mind trying to solve them.
Right.
You know, it's not fair. It's not just. It requires no critical thinking of what the actual problem is. Let's just put a huge blanket over everyone and punish everyone. And lumping all these people together is shameful. We saw that happen during 9/11. Okay. Yeah. You know, there was a good portion of us that were obviously like, these are our brothers and sisters, and right now we need to show them love more than ever. But that was not the majority of our country. You know, they took a lot of abuse after that all happened. So it's elementary mind, Steve.
And we also hear a lot about soldiers that go through a lot over there and come home with PTSD and aren't quite mentally right. And that does appear to be what this guy was doing for us. I'm reading from an article here. As much as he wanted to label the man who ambushed two National Guard members and shot them in cold blood outside of D.C. Metro Station as a terrorist who should never have been allowed in the country, that was not the case. I don't want to mispronounce this guy's name, but the guy in question, 29-year-old, had protected Americans from terrorists. As a soldier working with the CIA in Afghanistan, he heroically helped U.S. troops as they scrambled to leave the country from Kabul ahead of the Taliban takeover. By any normal vetting process, he did deserve to be here. if there was any breakdown in the immigration process, and there's no evidence of that as of now, it did occur under Trump and not under Biden. But again, I don't like this whole one person did one thing, so let's just assume they're all evil. And like, we don't know what his motives were,
No.
And again, we don't do this when white guys go and shoot up stuff.
He comes from my neck of the woods. He resides in he was from Bellingham, Washington, which is right up near the Canadian border.
Yeah, let's
and supposedly took a drive and headed into DC with this in mind. That's been reported. I don't know how we know that, because we don't know a lot right now about, you know, what his intentions were.
And do we trust anything coming out of this FBI? I mean, that's the other big problem. They've given themselves a credibility problem.
Completely, dude. Let's talk a little bit. I want to back up a little bit with something that you mentioned. I'm going to play this clip, and we can talk about it on a lot of different levels here, because there's so much said. Sorry, this isn't as smooth as it should be. But, yeah, watch this, dude.
Okay.
A question about this tragic shooting in Washington, D.C. U.S. officials say that the suspect worked very closely with the CIA in Afghanistan for years, that he was vetted, and the vetting came up clean.
He went cuckoo. I mean, he went nuts. And that happens, too. It happens too often with these people. You see them. But this is how they come in. This is how they're standing on top of each other. That's an airplane. Yeah. There was no vetting or anything. They came in unvetted. And we have a lot of others in this country. We're going to get them out.
Do we vet people on the plane?
Your DOJ IG just reported this year that there was thorough vetting by DHS and by the FBI of these Afghans who were brought into the U.S. So why do you blame the Biden administration
because
for what this man
in.
Did?
Are you stupid? A stupid person? Because they came in on a plane along with thousands of other people that shouldn't be here. And you're just asking questions because you're a stupid person.
It's unreal the way that, you know, he started talking to reporters, people. He doesn't seem to talk to too many men like that, right?
No, exactly. I've yet to see him. You know, I mean, he's done some level of lashing out, but the name calling and stuff like that, you know, quiet piggy and stupid woman. It's, you know, it's anytime he gets trapped, anytime he understands that his answer was just rejected. Because it's completely illogical. Look at this picture. How are they all vetted? Like, do you think that's how we vet people, is on the fucking plane?
Yeah. I mean, he was working with our country for over a decade, like you just heard. He had a badge on him, a CIA badge of something that when they found him. Like, it's credible that he had been working with his country. Obviously, he was vetted. My wife, who was in the military, had to go through so many different clearances. And those, all of that is so invasive, dude, that of course he was vetted. He said it right the first time around. He went cuckoo. It's probably not the way to say it, but this guy went crazy. And, that just, again, shows what a kid he is in the way of thinking he's cuckoo. He's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, come on, dude. There's more to it than that. He has a mental health issue.
And that answer defeats all of his other logic. So if he went cuckoo, then the vetting process wouldn't matter. Whether he was American or not wouldn't matter. Like, again, he's trying to convolute all of the bullshit excuses for public shootings. If it's a mental health issue, then that would be the issue, not where he came from, not if Biden brought it in, not if his service to the country. Like, but, it is more nuanced than that, obviously. And on one level, I'm glad the guy's alive, because I hope we do start to find out the motives. Like, was it truly political? Was he just having a mental health issue? Did he go there targeting them? I mean, there's always so much more to it. And they're, of course, already blaming the left for our rhetoric, which is completely disingenuous.
Somebody made a comment just a little bit earlier, said, have they, identified the shooter as trans yet? And my wife, Rachel, and I were having this conversation of like, isn't it so funny? I mean, it's been happening for a little bit, but this whole Charlie Kirk thing really amplified all of this of like, as soon as something bad happens, that we are going to tie this person to a party rather than a class of mentally ill person, you know?
Yeah. Listen, they're trying to deflect any level of blame. They're trying to own the libs. I mean, that is their just entire premise for everything. If Donald Trump Jr. went out and shot a National Guardsman, they would find a way to say, like, well, it's the rhetoric to the left. You corrupted him. You know, he went cuckoo because of you guys. Like, would never. I mean, I'm really at the point where I just would love to stop paying attention to anything they say because it's just oink, oink, oink. It's just blah, blah, blah. I mean, none of it has any validity or weight to it. The problem is he is the president and we can't just ignore this stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, 100%. It makes it really tough, dude, that, when we're going through something big like this and trying to find all this information out, I think of like, there's no one that we can actually listen to that I find credible right now. Like, it starts from the top down. It starts with Trump, and then it goes to Hegseth, and it goes to wide-eyed Cash Patel. But I was more than shocked to see this happening.
The suspect has been identified as Ramanullah Lakhanwal, a 29-year-old Afghan who entered the United States under Biden's Operation Allies Welcome, a program following the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. He resided in Bellingham, Washington, with his wife and, we believe, five children.
Yeah, it's five children. But listen, dude, what is Janine? What's her? What is she doing? Yes, what is she doing? Why is she here? Why is she talking to America?
Well, I mean, she's some attorney general, district attorney, something in D.C. there. Like, she's got some
glorified Judge Wapner, dude. I'd feel safer with Judge Wapner on the, scene.
No. And was that the same press conference that Cash Patel said we're trying to apprehend the suspect while he was already in a hospital after having a shot? Like, these are the people running our country. So this is why I say, like, a lot of this needs to go in one ear and out the other. But I mean, listen, it is, of course, a tragedy. The National Guards people shouldn't have been there. They shouldn't be there now. But that doesn't mean I blame any of them. And there is no, liberal dancing around for joy. Like, none of that crap. I obviously feel terrible. The families of these people, they were about to celebrate Thanksgiving. I mean, it is a tragedy. And, Trump is immediately trying to deflect blame and politicize and everything else and taking no accountability that they shouldn't fucking be there, period. Even to be any type of a target. But who put them there? He did.
Yeah, it's not even a thought, though. Do they need to be here? It's let's bring more in. And I'm not saying that people, I don't obviously justify this in any way, but you do have to think, like, gosh, that person never, I'm sure her family's thinking about it. She would have never been there if it weren't for this circus and da-da-da-da-da-da, that's all it is.
No, I just keep thinking about the fact that, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. When you turn the water up, it's going to boil over. Like, Trump has put his boot on the throat of 100 million plus Americans. Because he is not the president of the United States. He's on a revenge tour. He wants to crush blue states and blue cities. So would it be any surprise if you try to crush 100 million people, if five of them, lash out and act out? Is that not the obvious consequence of demonizing so many people, of doing all of this with cruelty, with trying to rule with an iron fist? Do you not expect anyone to resist that?
No. He doesn't, because Pete Hegseth stepped up and said, this just makes us go harder. You don't understand that when you come for us, we will go harder. We're bringing in the 500. But when stuff like this happens, we're just going to tighten the screws. And, these people aren't listening to your threats, dude. You're not threatening the right people. You're threatening America.
Yeah. Spot on. So. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see what develops from all of this, obviously. But I am curious to see what happens with this surge going on. And, you know, I don't know. You got any other video on this topic? Or?
Well, I'll just say this, dude, that when you're talking to, you know, family or friends or people about this conversation, and if you have anyone that leans towards that MAGA party or turns on Fox News at all, don't let them say, you know, first of all, it doesn't matter, but that Biden brought these people in. Trump granted him asylum just one or 2 years ago. So, you know, this is a Trump thing.
This year.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, this year. So, yeah, Trump granted him asylum, and he's not wanting to take any responsibility. He's trying to distance himself from this, that the people that he's got underneath him, you know, didn't vet him and everything else. Like, it's just a lot of bullshit, dude. So don't let that stuff go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Am I having camera issues on your end, or is it just my end?
You are, and I didn't know okay. if you could see him on your end. Or
I'm back now.
There you are.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, listen, all right. I mean, like I said, the comment section blowing up here, but I don't know. On we go.
Hey,
we
dude, it may be a good time. So that was the eve of Thanksgiving. Let's fast forward to Turkey Day, and we can get into a little bit. Did you go over, I revealed to Harness, Steve, the other day that I signed up for True Social. And I did it with a lot of trepidation, but I felt like I got to see what they're saying over there, dude. You know, like I really want to see what's going on. I was and remain completely shocked for most of us and most of you that are viewing that, you know, have nothing to do with True Social. I obviously didn't sign up for myself, but I was floored by the material that's being posted on True Social.
Yeah, you're brave, because every now and again you like to go watch Fox News to see what they're up to, and signing up for Truth Social is a little masochistic, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why did you just spend an afternoon punching yourself in the dick? Like, but yeah, okay.
You can't do it for long, dude. But, I mean, let's talk about a tweet that everybody probably saw for Thanksgiving. Did you see Trump's rage tweeting for Thanksgiving?
Yes, and he can never just celebrate any holiday. Like everything, he's got to turn it around into something about himself or a reason to bash Americans. You know, Merry Christmas, Americans. You're all a bunch of liberal losers if you didn't vote for me.
It is. It's always tied in with that shit. You're right. Every holiday.
Yes.
Let me read you some of this, all right?
Yeah.
Because there's plenty to get into here. A very happy Thanksgiving. Salutation to all of our great American citizens and patriots who have been so nice in allowing our country to be divided, disrupted, carved up, murdered, beaten, mugged, and laughed at, along with certain other foolish countries throughout the world for being politically correct and just plain stupid. When it comes to immigration, the official United States foreign population stands at 53 million people. Census, most of which are on welfare from failed nations or from prisons, mental institutions, gangs, or drug cartels. They and their children are supported through massive payments from patriotic American citizens who, because their beautiful hearts do not want to openly complain or cause trouble in any way, shape, or form, they put up with what has happened to our country, but it's eating them alive to do so. A migrant earning $30,000 with a green card will get roughly $50,000 a year in benefits from their family. The real migrant population, much higher. He goes, I mean, he's just, what are you talking about, first of all? Do you believe any of that?
No, but keep talking for a moment. I'll be right back.
Yes, okay, I will. I gotta read these, dude, okay? So, the dysfunction in America, something that did not exist after World War II. Failed schools, high crimes, urban decay, overcrowded hospital, housing shortages, and large deficits, etc. As an example, hundreds of thousands of refugees from Somalia are completely taking over the once great state of Minnesota. Somalian gangs are roving the streets looking for prey as our wonderful people stay locked in their apartments and houses. I hope you guys know this is a lot of bullshit. Are you doing all right over there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I know no one can see me, but I'm here.
All right, good. You tune back in for the greatest part of this, Steve. Let's see here. Locked in their apartments and houses, hoping against hope that they will be left alone. The seriously retarded governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does nothing. Why, dude? Why?
Why use the R word?
Yes, dude. I mean, he's obviously just using it to be divisive. And, I mean, he's talking about all of this stuff, and now he's going to bring the people of Somalia and the citizens of Minnesota into all of this, and now he attacks Omar, okay? She's always wrapped in her swaddling hijab, and who probably came into the USA illegally, in that you're not allowed to marry your brother. Does nothing but hatefully complain about our country and its constitution and how badly she is treated. This goes on and on. I say to my wife this morning as I'm going through this, this sounds like the rumblings and ramblings of a crazy person, dude. This is a lunatic, and this is the person who's running our country, which is obviously scary to us all. That's why you're here. I don't know. I guess it just gives me a little more charge to keep the resistance going here. When you can talk about Tim Walz this way, I mean, not only with the R word, but just to talk about him the way that Trump always does. When Tim Walz has done a lot of really good shit for the people of Minnesota, including free lunch for kids, stuff like that. Like, he's just, you can tell that Tim Walz is a good person. Maybe Trump has no idea what it has ever felt like to be that. Did you guys see that movie that they did? It was called The Apprentice. It was so spot on with Trump's relationship with his father when he was younger, and then all of his business that he did, even from the 80s, that he's always been a complete asshat. Maybe I'll implore you to head on True Social and just see what's going on once in a while. I downloaded it, and of course, you got to like come up with a username, and I was a little bit nervous to do that because, I don't know, I don't want to be associated with that in any way, but look for me. My name is Oopsie Poopsie. Oops, I pooped again, so you can find me on there. Maybe we should move on from Trump a little bit because it is a little depressing. I don't know. Did you guys see what J.D. Vance did as he stood before a crowd of soldiers, got people riled up for the Thanksgiving holiday? He went on to say, like, oh, hey, I just want to ask everybody, you know, like, what's the deal with turkey? Obviously, it's this big tradition. Raise your hand if you like turkey. And obviously, people in the crowd raised their hand, some of them anyway. And he said, you're full of shit. Everybody who raised your hand arguing turkey doesn't actually taste that good. No one roasts an 18-pound bird randomly outside the holiday, which I suppose is true. I don't know. I cook a turkey breast once in a while. But, yeah, I don't know. These are the things that the Trump administration is doing. These are the things they find important, obviously. Well, people are starving. I came across a story today where it showed Biden went out and served hot meals, Thanksgiving meals, to underprivileged people this year. So did Obama, and Trump was playing golf. So I think it kind of shows where his whole tude is, what he finds important. I wish Steve was here for this one.
Hi,
are you back?
My camera won't work, but I'll just go radio style and just be here to talk.
Let's go radio style.
God, you know, I am so sorry to everybody. This is just ridiculous.
You're all right, dude. We'll miss your face, Steve, but your voice seems to do the trick for people. So don't
That's
feel bad.
Fair.
All right.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I wish Steve was here for this, so I'm glad you're back. I want to talk to you about a little incident. This is outside of the political news, but it's news that we should all be aware of and find important, all right?
Okay, I'm all ears.
This happened on November. Let me do it like this. Dateline, November 23, 2025. This is a 65-year-old woman from Thailand. was found alive in her coffin at a Buddhist temple near Bangkok moments before she was scheduled for cremation. Did you hear about it?
I did. Isn't this the classic worst nightmare of everybody, to be buried alive and good hear the God. Knocking or the scraping?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I mean, this really, I mean, it dropped my stomach out. Her family said she was dead. I think the family should be questioned because, first of all, I think, you know, you should do a little bit better of a job checking to make sure they're dead before you put someone in a coffin and send them off to cremation.
I think I would blame the medical examiner, the doctor, the mortician. Yeah. I don't know if it's the family's fault, but
I don't know if they have that. I don't know where. I don't know. Let me tell you, temple staff, including the manager, heard faint knocking from the coffin while explaining paperwork upon opening it. They saw her slightly moving her arms, head, and eyes, shocking everyone, as a video captured the moment. I did have video of this, but our platform's all messed up. Medical cause and response diagnosed with severe hypoglycemia, critically low blood sugar, not cardiac or respiratory failure. The temple staff rushed her to a nearby hospital. And yeah, I mean, they gave her a little orange juice and she got up and started dancing a jig, dude.
Wow. What the hell is up with that? That's more than crazy.
Yeah.
All right. You know, we've been talking about the Venezuelan boat strikes quite a bit. And there's another headline out today that, you know, I mean, I keep saying that this is freaking murder. And it appears even more so that that's what is going on. So in early September, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordered a U.S. Strike Force command to kill everyone on board a suspected drug trafficking boat. That was the command. The order was to kill everybody. U.S. military commanders were apparently shocked to see two survivors clinging to the side of a flaming boat after the initial strike. So what'd they do? They ordered a second strike to finish off the orders to kill everybody.
What?
They saw survivors. Instead of, you know, sending someone out to help, they said, well, go back again. Kill these, you know, worthless human beings.
It's unbelievable, dude. Someone made a comment in the chat a little earlier that this administration doesn't see people of color as human. And I think that that's true. Like, depending on what country you're from and what they just want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, but they clearly don't see anyone in a foreign country as being human.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just seeing more and more reports about the fact that Venezuela has so much freaking oil and that that is what is really going on. Some Republican congresswoman said a few days back that I'm hearing that we're going into Venezuela and the reason is oil. They have more oil than Saudi Arabia does. And yeah. Trump always used to say that Obama messed up. He should have taken the oil in Iran or Iraq or wherever. So I increasingly am thinking that that really is what is going on. These are all just excuses. I mean, we knew they were, but the question was, excuse for what? And we've been calling them murders, as Lisa here says, since day one of this crap.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems like we're setting up a premise for war so that we can go in there. We've got freaking aircraft carriers down there and troops down there. We know yeah. Trump has authorized the CIA to go do ground operations there.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. The no new wars, you know, emperor does appear to be just staging a war either to distract from the Epstein stuff or a bonus to get all their oil.
Yeah. No, none of this makes sense, dude. It's all fairly sickening, as we've seen, but it doesn't look like it's going to stop. There was apparently a call today, I think, with Trump and the president from Venezuela, and I don't know exactly what was discussed, but I don't know. It seems like that's heating up towards war, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. But I cannot fucking believe that we had people, you know, we saw survivors. I mean, it's bad enough that we're killing them on the first go around, but to send someone back around, send yeah. another missile, go murder those people.
Yeah.
I really kind of, it bothers me that people keep calling these extrajudicial killings. Like, it's fucking murder, people.
You yeah.
From the party of, you know, Christianity and all these, you know, devout religious people supporting them and pro-life people. Pro-life, and this is what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's sickening, and you're right. I mean, they should just be calling it murder. Everyone should just be calling it murder, exactly what it is, and there's no way to fluff this up as anything else. So
yeah, nope, exactly.
Yeah, this comment says USA is complicit.
No, I think that's Usha.
Oh, I thought it was a misspelling. Usha is complicit.
Okay. Usha Vance, who, by the way, I mean, have you noticed? Not only did she show up to a public event with no wedding ring on, which is odd.
People are talking, Steve. People are saying.
A lot of people are saying, but she's going gray. Like, Trump's not going gray like a normal president does, but Usha Vance is. I mean, she's got some serious gray going, and there's just been so many pictures of her looking like a battered, you know, spouse at these events, yeah. Just completely deflated.
Yeah.
And can you blame her?
No, not at all. I mean, there is, you know, ever since, oh, well, the hug that, you know, ring bells around the world when, who's Charlie Erica Kirk's? Erica Kirk's, yeah. When she hugged J.D. Vance, people were saying then, like, there's something a little off about this. I asked my wife, if another woman hugged me like that, how would it make you feel? Right. And I don't even, she didn't even answer. She just gave me the eyes, you know, like, yes. Frick, no, dude. No, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, who knows? I don't think Usha's in a very comfortable place right now. I don't think she likes any of this.
And someone asked Erica Kirk finally about that thing, and she said that, well, you know, my love language is touch.
Yeah.
That's not a good answer.
No, dude. No. I mean, your love language can be touch, but have that with your husband. I mean, there's appropriate touch for...
That means you're showing love to someone. Like, I don't... Yeah. My love language may be touch, but I don't hug you like that and rub the back of your head with my hand.
Yeah, no. It's weird. What do you think the no wedding ring? Do you think it really means something? Are we reading into, like, maybe it's in the shop? The ring's in the shop or something.
Listen, I will tell you that in the last year of my marriage, which ended almost 7 years ago now or something, like, my then wife stopped wearing her ring. And when I would ask her, like, hey, you're not wearing your... Oh, it's always... Oh, I forgot it. Oh, I took it off out of the shower and I forgot. Or it's going to get scratched up at work. And... Fuck that. Fuck you. Like, I developed this sixth sense of my ring. Like, if I ever didn't have that thing on, I immediately would notice.
Sure, dude.
And I would feel terrible going to a public event or something, whether I'm represented alone or certainly with my then wife. Like, no, of course you know that that ring is not on.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's 100%. Did you ever take your ring off?
Only to dry my hands.
Oh,
like,
really?
When I would shower, I would take it off, or after I washed my hands, I would take it off, dry my hands, and put it back on. But
yeah.
No, that ring meant something to me. It symbolized a lot, and so no, I didn't take that as any sort of casual thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't take mine off. My, you know, you should take your ring off when you're making, like, meatloaf. Or, you know, something like that.
So you don't get bacteria crammed up in there or what?
Yeah. Rachel didn't take her ring off. She was making meatloaf one day. We're eating dinner. And I was like, well, where's your wedding ring? She was like, oh, I don't know. She baked it, fell off in the meatloaf, and I dug the meatloaf apart and found the ring. So.
Wow. That's gross. But I guess I'm glad you found it at least, right?
Yeah, I found it. But that is, you know, true commitment right there. Come on.
Did you lose a stone from that or something? I mean,
yeah, I did. I did lose a stone from that. Like, it heated up so hot, you know, that her stone fell out of the ring.
It's science. Metal fans, I'm told, in heat. So, yeah.
Wow. Huh. Well, good for you, dude.
That's funny. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. What's happening with the Epstein files, Steve?
Delays and delays and delays. And we saw a report that the FBI has now spent over $800 million in overtime hours for FBI agents to redact things. Why would there be a frantic rush to redact things?
Why do we even care anymore then? You know, here's what I want to say, dude, is why do we even care? Because we know we're going to see the vanilla side of these. And, you know, I guess I care for this reason. I'll answer my own question. Because whoever is still left in them, like, I want to see them held accountable as well. Because we're not the same as all those bastards, you know, the maggots. But what I want to know, and I've heard this question roaming around, is there's got to be an unredacted copy of this somewhere within the DOJ. Is that right? Do you feel that way?
Well, they're redacting stuff, so obviously it's got to be unredacted somewhere. Someone has to redact. It didn't come off the printer that way.
But once it's redacted, you know, you don't think they're doing it electronically, so there's just no record of it?
No, I don't think you can do that. See, this is my only hope as to why I say put out whatever you're going to put out.
Yeah.
Because there are people that know, certainly the living victims know. So I just feel like if they put something out that has clearly been redacted to censor Trump out of it, that somebody is going to go whistleblower, that somebody will out that.
Yeah.
So
you would hope
so. Give it a try. I mean, it seems the height of arrogance to think you're going to get away with it and that nobody will know what you're up to.
Yes. Yeah. I think that somebody somewhere has to have a copy just the way they are.
Yeah.
Like, no idiot is going to be like, we're not going to need that.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, Michael Epstein, Jeffrey's brother, claims that there's some facility 45 minutes north of D.C. where they've all been frantically going through and redacting it. He said a reliable source told him that.
Yeah.
You remember that guy a couple of months ago that was on a blind date or a Tinder date or Hinge or something, and he was being recorded, and he didn't know he was being recorded, and he said what they're going to do is redact all the Republicans and only release a version with the Democrats. Like, that was a guy in the Department of Justice.
Yes, that knew exactly what was going on. Now, here's the thing, though. If you're smart, and I'm not trying to be a smart liar here, but if I'm a smart liar, you got to leave a couple Republicans in there or it's going to look bad. So who do you leave in?
Throw Mitch McConnell under the bus. He's about to die or something. Right? I mean, it would be a little obvious. It was nothing but Dems. But, yeah, I do keep seeing it. Someone commented on one of our podcasts just yesterday about, come on, Democrats. Like, you know that Bill Clinton's going to be in there. Hakeem Jeffries is in there or something. Like, you people, that is not a threat to us. Go ahead. Expose anyone and everyone. We will not, you know, circle the wagons like you freaking cult members do.
Yeah. No, not at all. I want everyone that's on that list to be taken down with swift justice.
Yes, absolutely. So they have 30 days, and they're definitely running out the clock. But, yeah, put out what they're going to put out, and then let's take it from there. Because I just don't think they're going to be able to completely get away with covering whatever up. But they're absolutely going to try.
Yeah, I hope not, dude. I hope that they don't get away with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene is still going in stiff on Trump, especially now that she's announced her resignation. You know, she's been
nothing to lose.
She's been texting him, you know, to his personal phone, which I think is funny.
Just taunting him?
Just taunting him, dude. You're such an asshat. Like, let's see here. Marjorie Taylor Greene criticized Trump's priorities, saying that families are dealing with bigger problems when he talks about all this, you know, minuscule bullshit and the cat laser trying to get people to look over here. So, Trump went on. Check the flight logs of Epstein's plane. Bill Clinton's on there like 26 times, Hillary too. She basically says, like, I don't care. All of that's great information. We've checked the flight logs. Let's see the Epstein files, release them.
Right.
And he took to Truth Social just basically saying, you know, that she's gone completely wackadoodle-doo.
Yeah. And keep in mind, in those emails that we got recently, Epstein very specifically said that Bill Clinton's never been to the island.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. But if he's been there, out him, you know. But
Marjorie
everyone
Taylor
knows that Trump is in there. So if they give us something where he's not mentioned at all, obviously we already know. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean he did inappropriate things with kids, but we know he's in there.
At the very least, we already know, compliments of Epstein's brother, that he had knowledge that all of this was going on.
Well, that birthday card Trump wrote, we've been saying for months now, that was an admission of guilt. That is a little girl that he drew, not a woman.
Yeah.
Which is why Trump is trying to deny it so vehemently, because he knows it's an admission of guilt.
Trump took his kids on Epstein's plane, for Pete's sake. There are pictures, says Lisa Travis. And yeah, there is, dude.
And, you know, Wolf has described these pictures of Trump with topless teenage girls. Like, if we don't see some of these things, we know they're holding back. But again, Trump declared a new investigation into Democrats, which now means, oh, there's an open investigation. Some things we can't share anymore. Oopsies.
Yeah, like that wasn't purposeful, you know. Yes. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, well, hopefully we'll get these Epstein files at some point in time. I think our initial estimate after the Senate passed it was we thought, oh, maybe in a month we'll see him. I don't think there's going to be anything for months.
Well, there was it written into that 30 days is what they have to release it. So clock's ticking. And they had to release it in a, what do they call it, a searchable format. So some website, presumably, where we can all type in keywords and search it by date or names or whatever else. So
really? I didn't read that.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wow.
Whether they follow through is a whole other thing. But
yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Can I share some gross Trump news? I mean, I guess it's not as gross as any of these Epstein allegations. But what is your philosophy on eating in bed?
That's a touchy subject, you know. The only time I will eat in bed, but only a bowl of cereal. And it will only happen if it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't fall asleep. I'll go grab a bowl of cereal, get in bed, finish her up, drink the milk, fall asleep like a baby did.
Would you bring your number 3 combo or number 7 combo?
No,
your Big Mac, your fries? Yeah. So no. Michael Wolff has outed Trump as saying that when he first got to the White House in 2017, it was a major kerfuffle, that he did not want to eat in the dining room, that he likes to eat in his bedroom. And he was at, well, where in the bedroom? In the bed, I suppose. When he originally got there, it really sounded like he was, you know, like a feral child. So he would order out from McDonald's, and he would eat it in his bed, in presumably whatever that is, the Lincoln bedroom or something.
But wow.
I get maybe having some sort of snacks in bed, which I got out of that habit years ago.
Why? Like,
there was an era where, you know, the ex-wife and I would be taking a few bong hits, you know, watching TV at the end of the day. Yeah. And I just started like, I'm hungry. Like, I would, there were like Snickers wrappers on my bedside table and stuff. But it is so bad to eat before bed. Like, you consume calories and lay there for 8 hours. Like,
yeah.
That's just sort of gaining weight 101. But yeah, it's a little gross to have stuff in your bed, but no. I remember once being in a hotel room with my, I think Cross was like 13 at that point, and he was like, can we please order room service and eat in bed? And I was like, why? This is what a 13-year-old boy wanted to do, because he thought that was just a cool thing to eat a hamburger and fries in bed. This is what our president is apparently still doing. And yeah, it's freaking gross and nasty. I mean, just even this whole ordering McDonald's is bad enough. But like a 13-year-old boy who wants to go get in the big bed in the White House.
So funny, dude. South Park episode. I feel like everything is just planned for a South Park episode at this point.
It's hard to tell the difference between parody and real life anymore.
Yeah.
And by the way, on that same topic, apparently one of the reasons, besides him being a gluttonous pig, that Trump's like that Trump likes McDonald's, he said that Michael Wolff was saying this, that Trump told him that McDonald's is my food tester. One of the reasons that he likes McDonald's is that all the food is prepackaged and nobody can touch it. Therefore, he feels it's safer.
So odd to me, dude. I mean, we've heard that Trump's a germaphobe. For someone who shits their pants so often and has to be presumably cleaned up, like I don't understand how he's a germaphobe at this point. You know,
yeah. And I love the premise that, like, you don't think the people at McDonald's know that they just got a call from the frickin' White House and that this is Trump's food that we're preparing?
Completely, dude. Right. I'm talking pubes on burgers and packaged.
Exactly.
Stuff, you know,
I would trust your White House staff better than I would the, you know, minimum wage workers at the local McDonald's.
Totally.
That yet again have to stop what they're doing because Donald Trump just ordered. So let's all prepare his food. So.
Is there a McDonald's in the White House now?
No, Wolf says they order out to McDonald's. I mean, I don't know whichever one is closest to, you know, the White House, but yeah, how freaking gross is that?
I'm surprised that ballroom's not going to have the big yellow arches on top of it, dude. You know, maybe it'll have a McDonald's there.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
There are high school lunchrooms all over this country that have McDonald's and Taco Bells in them. So
yeah,
I could see that coming to the White House soon. Maybe that's what the ballroom really is.
Anthro says, how is a germaphobe so disgusting? That's exactly my question, dude. How is he so disgusting? How could he be afraid of anything?
Right. Well, it's a big fat piggy. Quiet Piggy. Top of his mind. That's why things like Quiet Piggy come out of his come out of his mouth. So,
hey, dude, what do you think about this? Okay, so I was thinking about this morning when I saw him talk to that reporter and tell her, "You're a stupid person." And we've been seeing him lash out, especially at women. You know, he called Tim Walz the R word. We're seeing him lash out with you know, schoolyard names and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I was talking to my brother. Okay, this is a half brother. We have different moms, and his mom has been going through dementia, and he shared with me many times that when she's started to go through it, the later stages you get into it, that people become mean and grabby and say things. You know,
this is what Mary Trump just said about, you know, Trump's dad, that that's what he was going through when he was in the end stages of dementia.
So do you think this has anything to do with it?
Yes.
You do? Okay, I love your absolutism.
I mean, he's a terrible human that thinks these sorts of things. And I do think that any sort of early or late onset of dementia or Alzheimer's, like, yeah, I think the filter gets eroded with all of that stuff. And that's not my opinion. I mean, these are all sorts of doctors have said this kind of stuff, that yeah, your filter just goes. So if you're an asshole, sexist, racist, you're just going to let these things fly because you really can't even help yourself.
Yeah. The chemistry of your brain changes and it slips out.
Right. Now, when we're at that stage, we're not going to be blurting out racist crap because that's not in our heart and soul. But I'll probably be being like, yeah, you're looking pretty hot there, nurse. Oh, crap. Did I say that out loud?
You will. I have no doubt that you will be.
It's the Austin Powers thing. Like, how do I tell him I have no internal monologue after he came out of the deep freeze? And yes. I hope I didn't just say that out loud just now.
Yeah,
we're listening to you. You said it out loud.
Kennedy's going to have to set up like all only male nurses for him. Okay. only male nurses.
Yeah, like Sarah here, later stage dementia, it's very common to lash out and just say whatever the fuck you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Vin Gupta, who's a trusted, you know, NBC medical correspondent, just laid out a whole case of all of these signs of the MRIs and the fatigue and blurting out stuff like this, that in his medical opinion, this is what I see from people with, you know, either Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah. Yep, it's. I think it's kind of interesting. It's not fun because he's our president, but to see him start to, you know, swirl down the toilet bowl with his failing health. I was watching some account on TikTok does some parodies, and I didn't know it was parody until I checked into it. But the guy was like, you know, all these people that Trump surrounds himself with, you know, Hegseth and Cash Patel and J.D. Vance. He's required them to all start wearing stakes wrapped around their ankles so his ankles don't look swollen. Like, yes, please. Yeah. More of that.
Cankles McTaco tits.
Yep. Yes. Well, hey, guys, thanks for sticking with us through all our bullshit today. We'll have to figure out what's going on with the platform. But quick Friday political weekend review.
What is up with the internet of late? In the last couple of months, we've had multiple of these just global meltdowns from Cloud Source or whatever the hell it is. But yeah, I mean, we were having software issues logging on. So, you know, but yeah, oops, our bad. Apologies. Thanks for sticking in there. We'll edit this. So if you want to listen to the audio only, we'll cut that crap out.
Yeah, you can go find it on any platform.
Indeed. So
do it.
Nice job hanging solo there. So. Go to our website, thevocalminority.net, and check out all the stuff here on Really American. It's all good stuff. So support independent media.
Yes, indeed. Keep up the fight. Keep up the resistance. We do two podcasts each and every week, Tuesdays and Fridays, and we do them live right here on the Really American Media platform for YouTube and Facebook. Join us this coming Tuesday, and until then, we'll see you next time.
And we say bye-bye!
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day!
Good day.
Peace.